Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Mick Harding, thank you so much for joining NITV Radio. It's been a very eventful 24 hours, I guess. With the process, there had to be some form of agreement on some amendments. Can you talk about the revised amendments, please?
I won't go into all the detail, the technical detail, because I'm not a lawyer as such. But having said that, look, there were a number of amendments that the member for Northcote, Lydia Thorpe, put to the House. There was some negotiating between, I believe, between the government and the Greens. They come to an agreement about what would be amended and what wouldn't. And I think the intent or the architecture of the bill need to stay in its, I suppose that was the core of the whole idea of what the bill is. Some of the intended amendments went to cutting through the intent or the architecture of the bill. And so they weren't agreed to in the end, but I believe they'll probably pursue them in the upper house, so which is their right to do that in a democratic society. I suppose if I wanted to talk a little bit more about the architecture and or the intent of the bill, is to keep a broad view at things, so a broad application to certain sections so they're inclusive rather than exclusive, because we're not at the point of treaty or treaties. This is just the architecture that sets up the steps forward that allows to put all those other things in place, i.e. the negotiation framework, the rep body, so the Aboriginal rep body, then the negotiation framework, which the rep body and the government would do together, and then a treaty authority, so an umpire, and then also a fund as well, a treaty fund. It sets out these kinds of things. We've got work to do, the rep body when it comes to B has got work to do in front of it, and it sets the scene and makes, it's the government that then makes the commitment officially in legislation to do these things.
So with the representative body, obviously that would be one of the next steps now to start working on talking to people about that. I know that Lydia Thorpe's called for a council of elders, but with that representative body, could that mean that there would be, you know, obviously a council or a group of elders within that representative body?
But look, the minister, during the hour of debate late yesterday afternoon, you know, said how we've already identified that. The community assembly already identified. They identified an ethics council or an elders council or, you know, something like that. And so it wouldn't be that that's not what they would do. The intent is that that would happen, and it would be the rep body that would create that elders council or ethics council, whatever they deem it to be. But it would be more about what the relationship is with that rep body, how that elders council and rep body, how they engage with one another. Yeah, so what the relationship really is. So the intent, there was always there to have one, the elders or ethics council, but it's just not here yet. I think if we do it now, we're putting it in before we put the rep body in. And so if I just say this, so with the rep body, only traditional owners can stand to be on that rep body, but every other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person that lives in Victoria gets to vote. But it's only traditional owners. Only traditional owners from Victoria that get to stand. So that means we will have a rep body that's made up of traditional owners, and, you know, you would think that within that there'll be some senior people with good minds to be able to create a way forward for us.
I know that you've talked before about that the door's open on this, and I want to talk to you about that and your, you know, your view on that. But there's also been, obviously, the discussion, which I don't think is going to go away, around recognising or understanding Aboriginal people in the community's sovereignty, and, you know, how that is actually, I guess, depicted.
Yes.
The conversation's probably not going to go away. I've talked to different people around treaties where they say that there needs to be sovereignty acknowledged first, and then like a representative body would then, or a council or group would then be formed when the sovereignty's actually been acknowledged. Do you think there's space for that, or what's your ideas about it?
It's in the bill. That whole section talks about sovereignty, and about, so the preamble talks about us not ceding our sovereignty. And there was another section, I stand to be corrected, but I believe that there was another section where sovereignty was inside the bill. The government recognises sovereignty. Look, if that hasn't happened yet, and I've got that wrong, I apologise, but I believe that was part of the discussions on the amendments. And so I think if we look at sovereignty, I said this yesterday in another interview that I participated in, and I said that our sovereignty doesn't go away. A treaty is a contract. You always own your sovereignty. You pass on your sovereignty to your children. Our ancestors had their own sovereign rights and exercised those well before anyone else got here, and exercised all their cultural rights in a way that is slightly different to today. But nonetheless, it's still sovereignty. And so I said this yesterday, I got my sovereignty from my father, him from his mother, her from her mother and father. And then it goes on and on from generations back. And so I pass that sovereignty on to my children. They don't ever give their sovereignty up. They are always sovereign people, regardless of what I think any kinds of laws, how they recognise, how they acknowledge, how they, deal with it. We're still sovereign in our own right, each person. So I hope that sort of makes some sense. Can I just say also that equally, the whole idea of self-determination is when you put those two words together and you use them in a piece of legislation, you have to give the people that you're talking about in this instance, you have to give them the opportunity to self-determine who and what and where and why and when they want to express their rights. Do they want to be a clan? Do they want to be a family? Do they want to be a tribe, a language group? Do they want to be this, that, the other, or several different types of things that fit within what is their norm, what is their cultural, in their cultural shape? And so I think by being explicit with certain things, it narrows the ability of people to self-determine who they are and what they are and how they want to express themselves.
You're with NITV Radio.
I've heard you talk about it before, and it'd be nice just to close up about possibilities, and your ideas about possibilities or a vision for a treaty in Victoria.
I think that there might be possibly some common things amongst us that we want. I would think that one of my hopes is language, our languages, for the treaty to actually be able to resource. I don't know, maybe it becomes like in New Zealand, they have a language council. It's funded every year. The language council is funded every year, and it obviously does all types of language programs, both for Maori people and non-Maori people in New Zealand. And, as I said in Cabinet, when I went to Cabinet to present with the Minister the first iteration of what the intent of the legislation was, I said, imagine your children going to school, learning the local language, what the local language is. I said, the possibilities are unbelievable to me, because what kids do is they come home, Mum and Dad says to them, what did you do today? I learnt an Aboriginal language. I learnt who the local people are. I learnt this and that and the other. And before you know it, everyone starts to get to understand where they live, the place where they live, who the first people are, not were, who the first people are in that landscape. And we start to break down the barriers. We already do things like that, of course, in community. If the government actually invests in that and make that to be a treaty, I think that goes a long way, certainly for this state, to mature. No doubt there are, I'm not going to speculate at all the other types of things, because there are all types of other things that people will probably want. you know, I think people have said also, you know, how does this change my life? And in fact, I ask myself the same question. How does this change? So today I sign up on a treaty, and tomorrow, how does it change my life? And I still at times think, oh, maybe it doesn't change too much in the first instance, but begins, maybe it creates a new horizon for our community, for the broader community as well. And if there are possibilities for us to take our rightful place in this community called Victoria, then we go a long way to strengthen our identity, our children's identity, all those in the past, all their identities, and all the people in the future, their identities, and that people understand, other people in the community understand who we are and accept who we are. I suppose it's a big wish list, a big broad wish list at that level, but I think there'll be, you know, lots of specifics. The framework will probably pick up a lot of the different types of specifics, I would say, and also particular group or groups, however the treaty or treaties, however they play out and they become, you know, living documents. I'll leave that to people themselves, because when it comes to my group, you know, we'll probably decide, firstly, if we want to do a treaty, I suppose that's the first question you need to ask, and then what the detail is, I suppose.
Well, thank you so much for joining the program. It's good to get your ideas and to get a better understanding of, you know, how you see it. So thank you so much, and it is an exciting time. You know, I do feel that there is some change coming in the air, whether, you know, it's not an easy road, but definitely it's happening. So congratulations on your hard work, and hopefully we can talk to you again for the program.
And I want to say Gingala, thank you.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.